The seven that I've identified as the main issues facing young teachers in the 1960s and 70s were, first of all, in many cases, inadequate initial training. And I think that that was both of concurrent courses, but I think also PGC courses. I think the notion that you can actually train a teacher in 1 year, I always thought PGC courses should be at least 2 years, but they're never going to be. I think a lot of PGC courses were, unlike the Sussex course, were not school-based. I mean, they were very, in fact, almost distant from the school form. So I think there was inadequate training in the 60s and 70s, and much worse than that, no follow-up in the form of in-service. I mean, I think many young teachers in the 60s and 70s went into schools and had little or no opportunity for in-service activities. And sadly, as far as local authorities were concerned, who were mainly responsible for in-service training at that time, history was not high in the priorities. You know, there'd always be, and you could understand why, there'd always be important developments in maths teaching or English or whatever, or science or whatever. So it was quite, when I was responsible for in-service education in my early years at Sussex, it was quite difficult to get in LEAs to think serious about history training. Don't mean so they didn't do any, but most history support was done by the visiting LEA inspector. Visiting schools, the LEA inspector for history was going around schools, but they weren't running many out-of-school activities.
You had advisors, presumably.
They had advisors, that's what I mean by it. No, that sometimes they call inspectors, sometimes advisors, yeah. So I think that was one critical problem. A second one was, despite all the activities that were going on around the notion of new education, new history and so on, I think in most schools, and I've said this before this morning, the approach was still very traditional. It was still rote learning. It was what I call the race through the chronology of British history. I don't think many teachers, many young teachers in the 60s and 70s had many opportunities to be experimental. Even before the national curriculum, there was a tremendous pressure on people to cover, you know, to go through large expanses of history and so on. The opportunity to look at something in a more leisurely, I don't mean non-rigorous, but in a more, over time, more leisurely fashion and really get into depth and so on. I don't think many teachers had that opportunity.
You think that's partly they were constrained by final exams?
Well, they were constrained by exams, but that wasn't the only thing. I think it was the nature of the curriculum. I mean, a lot of the secondary school history curriculums in the 16th century still presuppose that children should be taken through the whole gamut of English history. Well, you know, I'm not against that at all, but I'm simply saying if you do it that way, you know, the amount of time you can spend on any one topic is extremely small. So, and I think you could see that in, you know, those surveys of pupil lack of interest in history was because they were bored. And the number of people who accidentally discover, like my hairdresser yesterday morning, because she said, "What are you doing today?" And I said, "Well, I'm preparing for an interview I'm having tomorrow on history teaching." She said, "Oh, you want a history teacher?" And then, you know, and the next thing, "Oh, that was the most boring subject." And my response always is, "Must have been the way you were taught, because history in itself, intrinsically, is not boring." Mm-hmm. You know? So I think young teachers find themselves going into that sort of situation and adopting that kind of approach themselves because that's what was expected on them. That was my impression anyhow.
Except for the few that had the charismatic teachers like Sel.
Well, there were charismatic teachers, yeah. I think my sons at Lewis Priory were blessed with some good history teachers, and as a result, all three of them are interested in history. And I mean, the eldest one, who's a GP doesn't have time to do any reading in it, but the other two do. Yeah, they're both interested. And the other thing, you know, another problem facing young teachers, and I have no idea what the situation is now because I've been out of schools now for the best part of 20 years, it's just the small amount of time on the timetable. You know, you can go and do these great visions of what you'd like to do in history, and then you find the amount of time you've got to do it. I don't know what it's like now. I don't know what the national curriculum in history is like. I don't know.
Well, a lot of schools, I was hearing at the HA conference, a lot of schools, it's in year 7 and 8, so that's your old first and second year, it'd be one period a week.
Yeah.
So what was typical in the 60s?
Well, I would have thought two to three in the 60s and 70s. Or one period a week, is you might as well not have it. I mean, you can do certain things, but well, I'm sad to hear that, but I'm not surprised because there are so many other pressures on the curriculum, aren't there? I mean, even when, I mean, when I was working in the 60s and 70s, one of the issues faced with young teachers was the notion that a lot of heads were beginning to think seriously about whether they should have history on the curriculum. It was partly a reflection of those pupil surveys, but I can remember vigorous arguments with heads, and particularly with the advocates of other subjects, new subjects, social sciences, anthropology, economics, politics, all sorts of things. They're all clamouring for a place on the curriculum. And I can remember being invited by the Association for Social Sciences, I think they were called, which was quite a flourishing association in the 60s and 70s. I was invited to defend history in the curriculum. You know, why should you have history in the curriculum? And I remember at that particular conference, one man who taught social studies categorically said to me, well, 5 years' time, there won't be any history in the curriculum. That was the atmosphere in which we were working. I mean, a lot of young teachers in the 60s were coming into the situation where they were wondering whether their subject was going to exist.
Do you think some of the attention to methodology and, you know, why you should teach history, those questions that you asked yourself when you were in training college, was a response to this threat?
Yes, it was. Oh, yes, it was definitely a response to, you've got to find a justification to history. It's difficult to find it in terms of what history should children know, because you'll never get agreement about that. You can have arguments forever about what dates your children know or what's important and so on. But what you can argue for, and that's why I got really interested in general education, because the core of the arguments around general education are, what are the nature of the disciplines and how can we in some way congregate them into a set of activities so that children will have what Rose has now calling, you know, these areas of experience. And in history, the major thrust in the 60s and 70s, and the way in which the subject was defended, by saying that there are essential concepts, methods, skills, techniques associated with history which you lose at your peril. I mean, that particular lecture or seminar that I did for that association, my argument was that, you know, I don't mind whether history exists as a subject or as a part of the introductory curriculum, but I would mind if what I saw as the essential characteristics of history learning were lost. And I think some of the young teachers in the 60s and 70s were disillusioned, lost their optimism, because they felt their subject, which they devoted their degree course and so on to, you know, was under pressure. But also because they weren't having the opportunity to really get into the exploration of techniques and skill. I mean, I became quite saddened in the last years in teacher training, because I thought many of the crucial issues which we'd been addressing in the 60s and 70s about the nature of history teaching and so on were lost sight of. Maybe, I mean,
because of the national curriculum.
Because of the national curriculum, because you didn't have so much choice about what you did and how you did it. That was my, I mean, I may be totally wrong, because I didn't experience teaching it. So, you know, it's only vibes that I picked up, but I did feel that it was stultifying, and I thought some of the great controversies that we had and the victories that we thought we'd won, in fact, they weren't at all. They weren't, you know, we'd gone backwards.
Perhaps that's a good place to finish.
Okay.
Thanks very much.